You're listening to the Eat My Stack Poker Podcast, brought to you by the eatmystack.co.uk Poker Forum. One time.
Till Dawn, August Bank Holiday 2008. We were going to try and cover the deep stack tournaments that they're running this weekend, but we only had really one player in, which was Baz, and we followed him through. He went through a couple of days, but while we've been here, we've had a great opportunity to get hold of some of the big names on the European circuit that are regulars, the big buy-in event. So we've got some nice interviews for you, I hope, so we'll let you hear them. We've got one with Dave Colcroft, Chile, Maria Demetria, Richard Berridge. He's the leader in the Dusk Till Dawn Live and the online MTT League that they run. It's worth 50,000 DTD poker points for the winner, and that's due to finish soon. He'll be leading that, so we've had an interview with him. And one of the big winners this year on the European circuit, Yo-Yo Thew. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, he is up $2.8 million this year. Nice for some. I am catching him up slowly, but I am struggling on the $1 STTs I'm playing on Stars. The theme for a lot of our interviews has turned out this weekend. It was what the live players think of the internet players, and I think you'll be very surprised at the outcome of some of the interviews. We've got Maria Demetriou, better known as Chili to everybody that knows her, I think, playing the 500 deep stack at Dusk Till Dawn. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on horrendously, thank you. Well, actually, we're into four levels. After the first two levels, I went from 15,000 to 3,000. So, pretty sick hand, lost about 7,500 in one hand against a mate, the claimer online, Rick Trigg. I'll get him. And then... piddled down. Can I say piddled? Yeah. Went down to about 3,000, and I've built back up to 7, so I'm on 7 now, and I feel absolutely minted.
That's not like you to donk off that much so quick.
I never actually said donked off. I would hold my hands up and say if I donked off, but it was a pretty sick hand. He rivered me extremely well. He back-raised me with twos, basically, on an ace-high flop when I've got ace-king. And I kind of knew that his back raise was a bit weak, so I flat called him, and I knew he'd fire out more chips at me. I know he plays very aggressive, so I just flat called him, and on the turn he bet big, so it still sniffed bad. So I flat called 4,800 on the turn, and then he rivers a two with his pocket twos, and he actually checks, which is quite good because I might have gone out of that hand, but because I'd like check called him all the way, he figured me for a set, so. A better set than his, so he let me off the hook, I think. But yeah, that's it. So I feel great on 7,000.
Well, you've doubled up, went from what you had left, so you're not doing so bad.
Yeah, I had a double up and scrimped and messed about.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Well, I was just saying at the break now, it makes no difference. No matter what, if you're in the tournament, it's like you've played four levels, you're still in, and anything can happen. We've just got a new table now, so it'd be quite interesting to go back now to a fresh table. Although one of your guys is, I've moved next to him.
He was Baz.
Is it Baz?
Yeah.
He was next to me on the original table, and now I'm sat next to him again, so.
He
doubled me up, by the way.
Did he? Oh, yeah. He didn't sell me that one.
I went to 2,600, I think, and he had nines, and it came 10 high. But I hit, I had 5,600. We were in the blinds. It was one of those blind hands.
Because you two were sat together at the Virgin.
Was it him?
It was him that done you on the Virgin, but I didn't do it.
With his tens, was it him?
Yeah.
You know, at some stage, it came to me only about like an hour into it, and then I thought, I'm sure that's the guy with the tens.
But yeah. You were sat next to me at the Virgin before at Astor's.
Ah, was it? Oh, didn't it? I mean, yeah. No, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, but there was myself.
Yes, of course.
And there was another guy sat between us.
Quite a lot, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
We were sat there, and you were looking longingly in my eyes all tournament, and I, you know.
And then that Sun reporter came up, was taking pictures.
You were taking pictures.
I never think anything came of that.
Did you get anything out of that?
No.
Did you see anything?
I only looked like a couple of days afterwards, and that's it. So.
Yeah. Are you sponsored by anyone now?
No, I fund myself. Always have funded myself.
I thought you had a sponsorship deal with someone.
If TV tournaments, I've done three of.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, Matt, who owns poker.co.uk, he sponsored me for one, and then the Mansion put me into the late night poker that I did last year.
You did well in that, didn't you?
Yeah, I came second in the heat, and then I played the semi-final and won that. Got in the final the hard way, and then completely screwed up and came last in the final, which still hurts now. But you
got a lot of exposure.
I got three heats out of it. So yeah, I did well for Mansion. Got them a bit of a payday. So I think they'll do it again if I ask them. They said we'll do it again, but it's only a TV tournament. So I'm just biding my time. They're not my favourite things to do. They'll be very fair.
You predominantly play live, though, don't you?
Live. I dabble for fun online rather than it be my living. Yeah. I do like online tournaments, but I don't want to, like, predominantly just play them. I want to have a bit of a life, you know?
Yeah. Well, you live near here, don't you?
Yeah, about 25 minutes away.
Oh, well,
this place has been a godsend, really, to come. So it's okay.
Yeah, well, we always reckon it's the best place to be out of all of them.
Yeah, it is. You can't deny it. You get the, you know, good structures. Everything goes smoothly. Everything goes to plan. You know, then any dispute, then you know that they'll sort it out quick. It's perfect.
Don't argue with Mr.
No
Trump.
Swearing. Yeah, don't argue with Simon. You can't argue with Simon because he'll win.
You're on a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck anyway, because you'll be going back soon, won't you, I suppose?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've got time.
There's a few gone out a bit early, I thought, considering it was 90 odd in, 20 had gone.
Yeah, ordinarily I'd agree with you, but I could have easily gone out myself. I think it's gone quite slowly.
I'm sure you'll come back. You'll come good in here.
I hope so. It'd be a nice story. I'm actually quite usual to sit on a short stack as well, so you know.
Well, we haven't got Lucy Roadcrash here anyway. She's a bit of a nemesis for you.
We've not battled that much together. I remember 5-6 years ago playing at the Gala in Nottingham, and the highlight once a month was 100 rebuy. Oh my god, that was a highlight for everyone. That was like a massive tournament, it felt at the time. Yeah. And it was, it made a lot of money, but yeah, now there's so much for everyone to spread their money around, so
too many to do it. You know, the place is the thing here, isn't it? It's got everything. I mean, the dealers are all good. You don't get messed about.
No.
It's for the players.
Definitely. Well, that's what Rob wanted, isn't it? He was a player, wanted to build a place for the players.
I think that's done it. It's done that right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll let you have your break.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Go and sort them out. Mind that Bazzy. We'll have your chip.
I know he will. I can get some more off him. He's there, look. I can see him. cheers.
Good luck with
it. Cheers.
We've got Dave Colcott here, one of our best UK players, I would say, or one of the best.
Has been known to be the best.
Yeah,
has been just
the word. Yeah. Nah, you're always well thought of, I know. When you're playing. Just on the first break after the dinner, right? About five levels, I suppose, have we?
I think we're, what are we, five levels in, yeah. Five levels in, yeah, something like that.
22.377's the average. You're about that, are you, I suppose?
Remarkably similar to that, yeah. To be honest, I've got a very docile table, so yeah. I'm happy just to be average. You know, can't win the tournament today, obviously, and nobody's giving chips away on my table, certainly, so it's just a matter of grinding it away, unfortunately, today.
There's been a few, we've lost nearly a third of the starters.
Certainly not on my table.
No, I know.
We haven't lost any on my table. Sorry, I think we've lost one player. But, yeah, you know, it's a new game nowadays, isn't it? You know, there's plenty of people out there trying to win the tournament on the first day, but, you know, I can't quite buy into that theory yet, I'm afraid.
It's the ones that are going to be there on the last day that you're looking at.
That's it, yeah.
Do you think it'll go the 4 days with 91 starters?
I certainly hope not, I must admit. It'd be ideal for me. I'd love it to be finished by about 6 o'clock on Sunday so I can still play all the big Sunday night comps online, if truth be known.
Yeah, do you play a lot online?
I love playing Sunday nights. You know, four to five
Stars,
of the big comps.
Full yeah. Did you go to the WSA? You go to the World Championship this year?
The World Series. To be honest, I took it easy this year. I only played the two events at the World Series: the Big Omaha right at the end and the main event. I made the money in the main event, 400 and something or something for 27,000. So I broke even, which was most unusual actually for the World Series. Last couple of years, I've managed to do my brains out there, unfortunately.
Would you say you normally play? You play all the big events in Europe, don't you? More than anything.
I certainly have, should we say, over most of this decade, I've been travelling around playing most of the big events. But the first 6 months of this year, I've been without a sponsorship deal, so that and sort of, should we say, perhaps I'm getting on a bit now, I needed a bit of a break, so I haven't really played much the first 6 months of this year, but I've just signed a sponsorship deal with Full Tilt, so I intend playing. Literally this week, so certainly I'm going to try and play most of the events from now till the end of the year, and I certainly feel refreshed from not travelling quite so much this year.
You in the WSOP?
Yeah, I'll play that. Yeah, I haven't qualified or anything for it yet, but certainly I'll be playing it.
It's the next real big thing, I think, over here, isn't it? The Leicester Square.
Yeah, I think there's a GUKPT in Bolton, which is a fair old first prize. That'll be over £100,000.
Do you play most of those?
Yeah, the GUKPTs are usually a good, 90,000 first prize. Certainly worth playing, I quite like the structure of the tournament. It's, just the right length, 2.5 to 3 days.
Is that you prefer that to the. The cut and thrust of the 1 to 2 day?
Well, yeah, it depends really, doesn't it? I must admit, I find it hard to motivate myself to play 3 days if the first prize is 10,000 to 15,000, but 3 days for 100,000, then I'm prepared to sit there and wait and play the different phases, how I think they should be played, some of them very slowly and some of them very fast. But
your biggest win was on the European Tour though, wasn't it? I think
I've had several. I've never actually cashed on an EPT event, believe it or not. It seems to be a very funny anomaly. But I've won two or three events around 100,000.
Yeah.
Tend to all my biggest wins seem to have been in Grosvenor casinos. I've won a couple of 80,000 or 70,000 sterling events. So it's been the most lucrative, really. I've had a couple of results in the States for over $100,000. Here, there, and everywhere. But for some reason, the EPTs.
I had it in my head that you'd won somewhere over in Monte Carlo or something.
No. I've managed to bubble three times in the EPT out of, I think it's 14 events I've played, and I've managed to bubble three times, which is driving.
I'll have to go back to the computer.
Well, pretty sure you won't find an EPT cash.
Where would you say you normally. Where's your local sort of place that you would normally play?
My front room, really, now on the internet. But the Broadway's a mile from where I live.
I was going to say it was a Broadway.
So the Broadway did have a nice little cash game at the start. Well, for the last 12, 18 months, a nice little pot limit Omaha game, and they played a bit of six card, which I enjoy playing. So I've certainly enjoyed playing there over the last 12 months, shall we say. And as I said, I was taking the first half of this year pretty easy, so it was.
You can't do it all the time, can you?
No. So it's slightly easier travelling sort of a mile up the road as opposed to halfway across Europe somewhere.
I must admit, we had a forum do at the Broadway and we had a really good time there.
I really enjoy the Broadway. It seems to be the right balance. It's not really like the stuck-up casinos, is it? It's a nice, friendly atmosphere in there and most of the staff are nice.
How do you find DTD? Do you like that?
Yeah, I like it up here. I think the competitions are excellent here.
So we always like it here, I must admit now. Have you ever played Newcastle much, Aspers?
No, I've played Aspers in Swansea, but hang on, have I been to Aspers in Newcastle? No, I haven't. So I've been to Swansea a few times.
Yeah, that's
when I go back home.
All the main casinos, I think, that are poker related, are doing anything poker wise, are all sort of around the Midlands. I think now seems to be the. This area seems to be where it's all.
Yeah, happened. I mean, this has got its fair share, but I've played all over the country, really. Blackpool, Bolton, Teesside, Glasgow, Edinburgh, you know, so I've been up and down
Glorious
Dundee.
Glorious of Gat the Gala at Teesside, yeah. That's my local casino.
Yeah, well, I've been there and I'll be playing there in about a month's time, is it? Or 2 months' time, there's a Gala, or what do they call it, the British Poker Tour?
Yeah, the British.
There's a monkey event anyhow at Teesside in about 6 weeks, where I said I'll go and play.
Yeah, how would you say would be your, what would be your strategy to play this type of tournament with this deep stack 4-day event?
To be honest, because it is deep stacked, you know, I think the it sort of varies immensely. You know, I certainly don't get too aggressive at the start, but as I've got quite a placid table here, I'm messing around in a lot of pots, you know, letting them all think that I'm a bit of a, you know, I'm at it all the time, trying to find that sort of hand. Or that coup, shall we say, where I get hand over hand, where, you know, I might flop a set against aces or something like this, or, you know, a straight against two pair. I'm sort of searching out for that in the early levels while the, the blinds are very small compared to the... So I'm kind of seeing a lot of flops, and now the antes have just kicked in. I'm starting to maybe raise more than anybody else at the table, only because I'm on a very passive table. If I was on a table with somebody like Pete Linden, for example, I'd probably sit back and just play pretty tight and let him do it, to be honest, and maybe, to be honest, this first day I very much react regarding on the table, but messing about is probably as good a description as any.
I suppose...
Start tomorrow, really. I think we get more closer to the sort of re-raise all-in pre-flop phase. So again, it'll be a different. You know, I shan't be doing any limping at that stage, shall we say? And I shan't be playing, you know, any 10-jack suiteds anymore. They'll all be going in the bin. Or
I take it you've got. There's a lot of guys here that you play with regularly. Then on the sort of the bigger tournaments.
Yeah, there's a fair mix, to be honest, nowadays. I'd say half the people on my table, you know, I know well. Steve Jelinek, I've been doing battle with Steve for, 4 or 5 years now, all around Europe. And as it happens, we're both from Birmingham.
Do you find there's a lot of like, the online guys that are playing big online? And we've got one of our guys here that's playing this week. Are you finding they're a different kettle of fish to what you're used to with the normal live?
Well, to be honest, they're a different kettle of fish to what they were, 3 or 4 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago, all the online people hit the live casinos and they were all very aggressive. But now I think because there's so much literature out there and maybe they've, you know, got into a lot of trouble with their ace-jack, shall we say, now I find a lot of even the online guys will be... will have tightened up a great deal. So I don't really classify anybody as online or, you know, young, old or anything. I just try and watch and see how they play. And to be honest, you know, I've got two guys in where I'm on the blind and I've got two youngsters on the small blind, big blind. It turns out that they're two of the tightest players at the table. You know, they look like online guys. You know, you'd think they'd be aggressive, but, you know, every time they put their chips in the middle, they've had a serious hand from what I've seen. You know, and I haven't seen them stealing once so far. Maybe they're waiting until the blinds and antes are big enough to steal, which is, you know, very good tournament play. You know, who knows? But you know, they're certainly not, you know, the old, you know, what we were saying. You know, well, sorry, the description that everybody had 3 years ago was online guys were all reckless machine gunners. It certainly isn't the case by any stretch now. And quite frankly, you know. When you get to the World Series main event this year, you know, when I arrived on day three, I looked around my table, didn't recognise one person at the table. It turned out that there was only one who had a job. All the rest were online pros, and they were. It was one of the toughest days poker I've ever played. Everybody was calling raises, floating, making removes, and making calls with ace high on the turn and the river and all sorts of stuff was going on, which was absolute top class, no fear poker. You know, I was very impressed. It wasn't all, you know, get it all in, lump it all in before the flop. There was, you know, everybody was being put to decisions, you know, on the flop, on the turn and on the river. It was a very high standard of poker from a lot of players that, you know, I couldn't tell you who they were, you know, but they've got all their experience from playing the Sunday night comps or the other online.
Playing so many hands compared to what the live game was.
Of course, yeah, and it isn't just playing so many hands. It's there's so much, you know, a lot of the, 5, 6 years ago, the average person I'm playing against was a builder and a bookmaker. You know, now I'm playing against students who, you know, read everything they can get their hands on about the game. So it isn't just they're playing lots of hands. They're much more willing to learn. You know, they're not, you know, they're not just coming out for a game of cards. They're coming out to win a tournament. Well, or I don't even know if it's the money that inspires them. To be honest, it's more. It's like it's a challenge of winning the tournament, I think, and they're going to. You know, quite frankly, you know, if you were to ask me who the best 100 tournament players in the world are right now, I bet I don't know the names of 90 of them. You know, I bet they are online players. You know, and you know,
and you know whether I suppose with you being a name as such, you know, you're a scout that people want.
Yeah, I mean that's an entirely different question, but you know, it does come into play, but. Not so much in these bigger tournaments, to be honest. You know, if ever I play a smaller £20 competition, should we say, down the Broadway, or a £50 competition somewhere, then people are generally gunning for me. And I've played a few competitions with bounties on my head, and, you know, I can guarantee as soon as I put my chips in the middle, I'm going to get called in four spots. But fortunately, you know, here, the buy-in's £500. It's a lot of money to most of the people playing. And they're not going to, you know, quite frankly, most of the times I can get away with murder and bluffing people, really, at this sort of level.
You don't get so many idiots, do you, at this level? Well, you shouldn't do.
You know, I never call anybody an idiot, I'm sorry.
Well,
you know,
less, they're not playing stupid, are they?
Well, no, at the end of the day, I'm not looking for respect, you know. You know, I don't want people to pass every time I put my chips in.
No.
You know, so, you know, I want to be called some of the time.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Dave, anyway.
No problem, thank you.
Hope you have a good tournament.
Cheers.
We'll be right back. Some poor dude just had his aces cracked by 5-6 off. Now he is smashing up his laptop. Maybe he should have signed up to eatmystack.co.uk and posted in the BBV section. Visit eatmystack.co.uk to ease the pain. Baz finished third in PokerStars World Championship of Online Poker Event 1 and won over $87,000, of which over $50,000 was paid out to his backers. He won Full Tilt Online Poker Series Event 4 for over $48,000, returning over $20,000 to his backers. Are you a winning player and looking for backers to help you move up to the next level? Or perhaps you simply want to buy a piece of the action? Stakershark.com, the UK's top poker staking community. At PokerFreeRollWorld.com, all our games are free. That's right, 100% free. No need to deposit, so you can play risk-free. Only free poker at PokerFreeRollWorld.com. Sign up today at PokerFreeRollWorld.com. It's free. You're listening to the Eat My Stack Poker Podcast, brought to you by the EatMyStack.co.uk Poker Forum.
Nice to see you here, Julian Thew, Yo-Yo. Notice you were playing. You played yesterday.
Yes.
I was quite surprised to see you because I thought it was like, I didn't expect to see you.
Well,
But then I realised it's your local event.
I come down once, twice a week. I play the 25 freeze out. It doesn't, you know. I just like playing, so and 500's, you know, it's a nice comp. It's a nice prize. So yeah, definitely. If I was going to be around, I was definitely going to play it.
I was quite surprised to see it. Somebody said, "That's Julian Thew." I said, "Hang on, mate. Yes, it is."
It was.
I went and had a look, and I said, "Well, I didn't expect to see you here because I mean, you had a big cash this year, didn't you?"
Yeah.
And then I went and Wikipedia'd you.
All right.
And see what you've got on there. I thought, "Oh, very nice."
Yeah.
2.3 million this year.
Yeah, that's what they say. Not this year, no.
Is that life?
If you play tournaments, you need to have a big sample size to get any results, and you know, playing events like this is all part of it. And you know, I went out on a bad beat yesterday, and I'm quite happy that it, you know, I don't mind that because you're going to get so many bad beats, and you know, you're going to give a few out as well, but you just have to grind out the numbers really. And so another one under my belt, so to speak.
Great. It's nice to see some of the bigger pros
Yeah. I mean, we had a word with Dave Coulthard yesterday and all. And the local boy, Richard Burridge, he always seems to do well in these.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
I bet you've had a few battles with that boy in
the over the years, yeah.
Yeah, he's a very nice bloke. I've played with him a couple of times now. I've always had some fun with him. What's your next big one, I suppose? You in for the WSOP Europe?
Yeah, there's the Bolton UKPT first, and then Barcelona EPT, and then, it's the main event at the World Series in London, and then straight after that EPT London. So
did you play that last year?
No.
I didn't think you did. No, I was there last year.
Yeah.
I couldn't think whether you were there.
No, I wasn't really fussed about playing it, to be honest. But
it's a bit expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, they have so many events in America, and I just felt coming in at 10,000 was a bit steep, you know, for an initial event. Having said that, I'm playing it this year. So.
Yeah, but the Yanks love it, don't they?
Yeah, they seem to. They can't get enough, can they?
Have you managed to play much against them? Do you get out to Vegas and that much?
Once a year for a couple of weeks, really. So, I've had some experience, but not a great deal.
Because they don't love the Europeans, I don't feel, do they?
I don't know,
do they think that you're muscling in on sort of was their territory, I suppose?
I don't think so, no. I think there's such an influx of new players, you know. Even you come down here, which is the local, and I probably only recognise, you know, probably only know 40% of the field. You know, there's that many new faces all the time, and I'm sure it's the same in the States.
Do you find that on, like, the GUP... UK.
Yeah, similar.
I suppose you're meeting the same people, sort of week in, week out. But then you're getting the local boys that come in, and I suppose they can. Well, it's not so much luck. They're still playing the proper game at the end of the day.
Yeah, and but you know, I guess 10-20% of the field is made up of the, you know, Dave Colclough, Mickey Wernick, you know, the guys have been around for a long time, and then there's the new sort of young pros like Price Bansey and James and people like that. And
I'd like to ask you the same question as I asked Dave Colclough. How do you feel about the internet, the young internet lads that are coming in into these tournaments, and like the accepted pros, shall we say, the expected ones that you're going to get?
Yeah.
Are you finding that you're playing different against them, or they're playing?
I think a lot of the internet guys, you know, I think they're setting the standard, really. You know, they're very, very competent. It was the case a few years ago that if there was some young fella at the table you'd never seen before, you know, you'd eat them for breakfast. Nowadays, you can't make that assumption, you know. And you look at the EPTs, and it's all the young American online guys who are too young to play in the States who are cleaning up over here. So now I it's a good learning, you know, to try and play with these guys and, you know, see if you can pick up a few things.
Where did you start off from? Were you internet based or were you live based?
No, live.
You were live based.
Internet hadn't really started.
Do you play internet now much?
Not really. A little bit on William Hill, that's about it.
Yeah, because you're sponsored by William Hill, obviously.
Yeah,
great. Will you be playing? I suppose you'll be in all there. They've got this online championship they're doing.
I'll probably play a couple of those.
How do you tend to play these big
I don't really go in with a set strategy because it's so dependent on the makeup of your table. I'm probably a fairly solid player now compared to what I was a few years ago. I was much more aggressive, but you know, your game is supposed to evolve over the years, and obviously the way people play tournaments now is changing all the time, and it's good to sort of make adjustments. So I never sort of go in with one set idea of what I'm going to do. You just have to see what's out there and adapt to what's happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, this 300, 2 days, 2 day event. So it's like standard sort of GUP. UK, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a short field. I don't know how many there's going to be, 60 or 70 or something. So, but yeah, it's all good practice, you know.
Yeah, I don't think you need so much of that, like.
Well, you'd be surprised. I can play pretty badly, you know.
It's not real. Some of us more than others. It was. I was very surprised that you were here yesterday, but I was quite pleased that you were here, because there seems to be a lot of people. There's a lot of the good players that are from this area, aren't there? There's a lot of guys you don't realise that are here, like the Midlands, Broadway, now that DTD's
sort of
established itself on the map. Do you like this sort of the atmosphere of DTD as opposed to like a casino type?
I'm not a gambler at all, so I never enjoyed going into casinos to play poker. You know, it always sort of grated a bit. So I'm very happy that it is a pure poker club. Yeah. You know, first of its kind, really, up here.
I think as poker players, that's the main thing we want. You know, this sort of thing to take off.
And I think for the guys who do have a bit of a habit, it's good that they're not in that environment. You know, and maybe they'll hold on to the money a bit longer. And,
start giving it out in cash tables. It's been smashing to meet you anyway. Thanks very much for giving us an interview. And hope you do well in the 300 and good luck for the rest of the season.
We'll see, I won't make any promises. Thanks, guys.
Right, we've got Richard Burridge from the DTT. Well, he's a local player from DTT. Plays here regular. Every week?
Pretty much
so. I know I've played with you a couple of times here before. And we're at the Deep Stack £500 entry on day two. And we've got, 15 left?
Yeah, 15.
15 left. You were chip leader. You've been chip leader once on day one, I think, weren't you, at one time?
Yeah, I think I was chip leader for quite a lot of the day. And then I think I ended about 7,000 off chip lead, about 80,000, I think.
You've always, every time I've been here in the last like 6 months, you've always been sort of there or thereabouts in most of the tournaments you go. Do you have a strategy for playing this deep stack, or is it just your normal game?
I didn't really use to take poker too seriously. I just play it for fun, but recently in the last 3 or 4 months, I've changed a lot of my game and taken it a lot more seriously and sort of like knuckled down and, you know, started to play for a few more results. So, and it seems to be paying off at the moment.
I know you're a big thinker in the game, so I remember I can't remember what the hand was, but I know it was a really... you sat there and worked it out, and I know you were there for about 10 minutes, and I went through it with you, and it was definitely, you know, the play was good, and I noticed you had one of those yesterday with I think you had sevens, and there was a guy had a set of five. He flopped a set of fives, and I think there was three all-ins on the table as well, and you'd had a good raise beforehand, but in reality you'd folded the winning hand, I think, on the day. But it was a horrible flop, I think. And from what you said at the time, I thought you were correct at the time. You didn't need to risk the amount of chips that were being put up.
A lot of my thinking in the hand went back to a hand which happened about four hands before. When we came back from the dinner break, I raised, I think the blinds were 150, 300, and I raised under the gun with pocket jacks. I got six callers. The flop game, jack, 7-8, rainbow. I laid out 2.5 and got one caller. A nine came on the turn. I put a blocking bet of 2.5 out and got re-raised to 8. I called and paired with a nine. I checked, thinking he would... bet the on the end, which he did, 15,000. I re-raised all in and passed. Sonny passed a 10, and so I thought he made quite a big lay down there when he put 25,000 in chips in the pot. So four hands later, when he's on the small blind, Nick Marshall's limped under the gun, and I've got pocket eights in late position. So I don't particularly want to put a raise in and have to pass to re-raise if he's slow rolled a big hand. So I've just flat called, and the small blind's made the hand up. The flops come 8-7-5, two spades, and I put an informational bet with top set of 900 in, which the small blind's called. The big blind's re-raised to 3,300, and Neil under the gun's flat called. So I think he's probably got a flush draw under the gun as he's flat called the bet, which I've then subsequently flat called. Now, the small blind then moves all in for approximately 11,000, which I could see the big blind was thinking about re-raising, but just flat called. And Nick Marshall then moved all in, which pretty much sealed the fact that he had a flush draw, the way he's played the hand. So it's come back to me, and it's 18,000 odd chips to me. I'm only in the pot for 4,000 out of 78. So my thinking behind it is, well, if I flat call here, there's no reason why the initial raiser can't re-raise. It's going to cost me 30,000 chips. And I think, you know, being against a small blind and a big blind, it's quite possible one of them's flopped a straight. You know, one of them's on a flush draw. So I considered it, you know, I was putting a clock quite quickly. So I considered my options. I thought, you know, a worst case scenario is the small blind's flopped 6-4 straight. and maybe there's another set there or even a higher straight, and it's going to be pretty difficult for me to win the hand. So I decided to pass in that position. It then transpired that the small blind had an open-ended straight draw of 9-10, a set of fives and a king flush draw. Blank, I would have won the hand. But, you know, in hindsight, you know, I could have called, but, you know, I thought I was 50-50 at the time with the hand possibilities that were available. And I subsequently ran the hand through analysis, and I was 49% underdog, or 49% to win the hand. So I think it was a justifiable lay down. So, and I think if I had a called and I'd have been up against, you know, a set and a straight, everyone would have said it was a bad call. So, you know, I just think at the time, you know, I considered that I was a better player at the table. I didn't really need to gamble. As, you know, I could use my chips to my advantage later on in the hands. So
I know that at the time there was a few of us sat around the table thinking, and you said, I heard you say that you had sevens or whatever eights. It was, that it was eights, and you'd have won it. And a few of us said, well, how can he lay down eights there? And I thought, well, yeah, there was such a strong flush. There was a big flush draw. Yeah. There was a big open-ended. And there was everything there that you didn't know what you had. And you could be just sat there with trip eights, and it wasn't going to mean nothing. Yeah. I mean, the set was worthless. So, you know, I looked at it, and I thought, well, you know, I mean, I couldn't have laid it down. And I think there was a hell of a lot of people that wouldn't have laid it down. I was quite impressed when you did. And it, all right, yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But, I mean, it didn't wound you. I mean, you were in, like you say, 4K, and you could have been in at 30K, which would have been half your stack.
Yeah, it transpired that later in the day, I was up against the hand later in the day against Paul Gourlay when he raised under the gun. And I flat called a race king. The ball came two diamonds and a king. I called. He moved all in on a blank turn. I put him on king jack or king queen of diamonds, called his 27,000 bet, and he subsequently had king jack of diamonds, which then sort of like hit a diamond on the river. So then I look at it and I think, well, had I have called my trip eights and lost the hand, you know, I would have been out of the tournament. So, but you know, I managed to finish the day on sort of around the 80,000 chip mark. So I think it was a justifiable lay down. So, but a lot of people said they wouldn't, but you know, I just. You know, winning poker competitions and going deep and cashing, I think it's about sort of making big laydowns as well as making big calls. And so, you know, I think it's justifiable.
Where are you standing at the moment in this?
Well,
you're
I took
above average, didn't you? Well,
no, I'm a below average at the moment. I managed to get up to around about 110 quite early. A lot of runners dropped out quite quickly, which I was surprised at. I thought we might only lose six or seven in the first 2 hours. You know, at the dinner break, 3 hours in, we're down to 15. So, but I called again. I limped a raise of ace king on a king eye board and managed to get beaten by ace jack on a queen, subsequent queen ten, which put me down. I managed to get back to 60,000. So, you know, I think I'm probably in mid pack. There's a few people with quite large chip stacks. So my main goal at the moment is just to make day three and make the final.
Make the final, yeah. Was it six to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be there or thereabouts, I would hope.
Well, hopefully I'll get in with the best of it if I lose. I don't particularly want to have to gamble with any hands, but, you know, I won't be slow playing ace king again. King high boards.
The monster that might be ace king. Are you mainly tournaments, or do you play cash here as well?
I play quite a lot of the cash games, 5-5 dealers and a 5-5 Omaha, so it's, you know, I quite enjoy playing that. Recently I've sort of like quite a good run on some of the cash games in the last couple of weeks. I was leading the leaderboard here. I went away for a couple of weeks, came back behind, second competition, come back on a Wednesday. I won a 154 runner event, put me top. So but then Pete Condrey, who's second, is playing quite well at the moment as well. He's then moved in front of me again with an online result, so we're to and froing quite a bit at the moment with a week to go. But I think at the start of this competition it was 6 or 7 points in front of me, so the points I've secured already puts me 6 or 7 points back at the top. So and realistically, although it would be nice to win this event, especially after making the final table on Thursday night, you know, it'd be nice to make the final to get some European ranking points. But my number one goal at the moment is probably to win the leaderboard here, which ends in a week's time, you know.
Do you play many of the other big events, like online, any of the online big series, World Series?
I haven't really played any of the big events. Well, not too much of a. I haven't really been too much of a good traveller, really, and I've sort of like stayed away and more played at home in the last few years. But recently, in the last 6 months, I've decided that, you know, maybe it might be sort of time to sort of maybe go out and play a few more European ranking events and some bigger competitions. So I think all in all, I played 4 European ranking events only. That's it. I made the final here the other week and on Thursday, and just before I went away on holiday a couple of months ago when they had the mini festival, I finished fourth in the main event at that, which Chris Bruce won. So I will be playing a lot more of the events.
Do you fancy the WSOP Europe?
No, to be honest, I don't actually think it's that good a value competition. It's a £10,000 entry. I don't know what the buy-in is as well, maybe £500. So, you know, I think it's £1 million guaranteed. But last year they had 700 runners. So, you know, 10,000, you know, it's a 100-to-1 shot. And I really don't think it holds that much value, to be honest with you.
Don't fancy trying a satellite in?
If a satellite came up, I probably would. I'd probably have a go at it. If a sponsor came up, a different player.
Oh, we'll see what we can do. We'll get one. We'll have a shout round. We'll see if we can find one.
I think the other events, like the GUKPTs and a lot of the events at DTD, I think hold a lot more value. But if there were going to be more runners in the WSOP, then maybe it might become more valuable. But then £1 million is £1 million. So
not Louis Smith.
No.
Good luck for the rest of the tournament. Hope you make the final day.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Smashing. Cheers, mate.
We'll be right back. Some poor dude just had his aces cracked by 5-6 off. Now he is smashing up his laptop. Maybe he should have signed up to eatmystack.co.uk and posted in the BBV section. Visit eatmystack.co.uk to ease the pain. Baz finished third in PokerStars World Championship of Online Poker Event 1 and won over $87,000, of which over $50,000 was paid out to his backers. He won Full Tilt Online Poker Series Event 4 for over $48,000, returning over $20,000 to his backers. Are you a winning player and looking for backers to help you move up to the next level? Or perhaps you simply want to buy a piece of the action? Stakershark.com, the UK's top poker staking community. At PokerFreeRollWorld.com, all our games are free. That's right, 100% free. No need to deposit, so you can play risk-free. Only free poker at PokerFreeRollWorld.com. Sign up today at PokerFreeRollWorld.com. It's free. You're listening to the Eat My Stack Poker Podcast, brought to you by the EatMyStack.co.uk Poker Forum.
Well, we got Baz here on the second day of the Deep Stack. 500, of which he exited
a long time ago, in 20th. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're now down at the final table, and you went out about, what, 20th?
Yeah, that's about right, yeah. Pretty sick spot.
You were the short stack for at the start of the day, and you got it up to what?
I got up to like 40k, I think, in the end, but then I started getting blinded away a bit again, and I did a few, well, I say steals. I had jacks and eights in a row, and I was back up to like 35k, and then I ran, and then in on my right raised again in the small blind. I had king queen suited. Ball comes king jack four. He has aces. Off I go tilted.
Just one of them things, isn't it?
Yeah, just one of those things 20 times this weekend. Yeah, so it's not been a very. I'm happy with, like, everything. Like, I think I played probably the best poker I ever have, but I was just literally doomed to never get anywhere deep, so...
You played some good poker from what I saw.
I only made one move. Like, I raised the river with pocket eights on a king-queen 9-9 board or something, just because I knew he had a queen by the way he bet, and he folded queen-jack face-up. So... I was happy. I don't think I got a read wrong. I don't think I only missed maybe. I spewed about 13k with queen high when I had a straight draw and he had aces. But I mean, he literally never has aces there, and it was just I couldn't believe it when he turned over aces. But
the said man that you're on about, and I've witnessed three. Well, he had aces twice. Once against you to really knocked you out. He had aces about five hands prior to that. And took a huge amount of chips off of somebody, and then the hand that we all witnessed that were, what was it, jack four suited and he hit a flush.
And then I had the guy two to my left right at the start of the day. I shoved like 14 blinds with king 7 suited, and the guy instantly starts counting chips in the small blind. And I mean, how on earth he calls me with 10-8 suited? I mean, I don't know, how do I react when someone calls me with 14 big blinds live? Should I be berating them, Jeff? I don't know.
No, not really, can you?
Why can't I berate someone for calling me with 10 high? That's what I want to know.
Because you don't do that.
What, call with 10 high? I'm pretty sure you don't call with 10 high, but I mean, I'm just glad that I hit my flush.
No, I'm winding you up. I mean, you know what you're doing more than what I bloody do. That's a dead cert. But, I mean, today was one of those days. You weren't getting the luck yesterday, were you, either? I mean, you haven't had a lucky weekend, that's
it. I haven't had lucky forever. I had 3 days of running good, and I've spent the last 3 months running ridiculously bad, which is so frustrating. Like, it was my first proper live event, I'd say. Like, I mean, the Virgin Festival is just nothing compared to this in terms of, like, structure or anything like that. I mean, the structure was really, really good. I mean, the fact that I sat with, like, 20 blinds for about 5 hours yesterday, and then I probably sat with about 20 to 30 blinds for the few hours I was in today. But I mean, any other tournament I'd have been out in like 75th and just like not been cared about. But the fact that I got reasonably deep, like last three tables, almost the last two tables, if I have to suck out with my top pair against aces in a blind versus blind situation, if I get there, I'm probably going to go and win the tournament, if I'm honest. Unless I have even more callers come up against me. But I was just so confident in my play, and I mean, it was really, really gutting to go out in 20th, so... Oh well, plenty more time.
Play one tomorrow. Going back to this run you had a few weeks ago, you had a weekend where you cleared what?
I made something like 35k in tournaments. It was like the first weekend of August, I think, and I'd just come back on the Friday night. That was the 31st of August, and I shipped something like 6k in two different tournaments, and I was like, maybe I should give this tournament stuff a try again. And then on the Saturday, I won like 12k or something, and then on the Sunday, I won a bit more, and it was just... It felt good to be... I didn't even think... I was still getting sucked out on so badly, but it's like some of the tournaments, like when I was going deep, I was actually like finishing top three, so the money was like pouring in. And then ever since that, every time I go deep, I just get like ridiculously outdrawn, or, you know, it's just literally those 3 days have paid for the last three, like kept me in profit for the last 3 months. But it's really, really frustrating that anything above $100 buy-in, I just can't get anywhere. So I'm just waiting for my luck to change around. Hopefully Whoopit will provide that, because F-Tops was an absolute disaster. But, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger and all that, so...
Your life play is getting good, I think, now. Don't you think you played... I think you played really good this weekend. All right, you haven't had a lot of luck, but I've watched you, like, for the last year, and I think you've played really good this weekend.
I think a year ago I'd have probably tilted about 10 years ago in this tournament, because I was just... Every time I was getting cooler, and it was just getting ridiculously frustrating, but I kind of just... I kept reminding myself that I was still in the tournament, and I still had a bit of play left. And I just remembered that I was like 10 times better than half the people on my table. I mean, on day two, the problem was that I had three really good players on the opposite side of the table and three really bad players surrounded me. So I had to try and... I had to get involved in marginal spots in, like, the blinds and stuff, because I had to get my chips off these three rather than the other three on the other side, because the problem was the other three on the other side I knew were good internet players. And the problem with playing good internet players is that they want to play a high variance style where they're going to be like re-raising all in with like air and stuff for like however many blinds they have, just because they know that when I re-raise I may fold my hand and stuff. So it comes against the worst players, it's a lot easier mentally, because they only think on like two levels max, whilst the online players will be thinking on like four or five levels. I'm not saying that some of the live players aren't good, they're just not as good.
Right, let's get your brother in. I want to hear about the worst bad beat I've heard for a lot of years. Come on, Chris. This is Black Shuck. Everyone will know him on the forum as Black Shuck. But it's Chris John's brother, Bazzy's brother. Been playing cash today.
Well, you've been playing cash all weekend, haven't you, really?
Yeah, that's right. I played the £50 satellite to the £500 main event, but that didn't go very well either, so I've been playing cash mainly.
He's not a bad player at the end of the day, but today's hand was an absolute killer. Do you want to talk us through it?
Well, I suppose you want me to, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what happened is my image is, like, quite speary, really, because I got kind of bored just playing one table of full ring and sitting there. Sorry, John opens from early position. He later said he had 7-2, so that was a strong open from early position. Geordie, as you all know, is an interesting player. He flats, and I had jacks in middle position. And I thought about re-raising, but I thought it was kind of going to be difficult if someone then called or came over the top, so I just called. And a bad player called in the blinds as well, one of the non-EMSs at the table. The board came king-king-eight, might have been two diamonds, I can't remember. And they all checked to me, and I decided to bet, and Geordie's the only one who calls. And at this point, I decided he's probably got a king, or maybe like an eight or something like that. And I decided I'd go check behind most turns, because I'm assuming he's going to check most turns. Except the one that did happen, which was a jack, came up the turn, giving me a full house. And I thought I'd bet it, and he check-raised me. So I asked him how much he had left, and well, I didn't really take in how much he had left because I was just going to go all in whatever, but I just wanted to make sure it'd be okay and not a massive overbet. So I moved all in, and he insta-called me, and I was, you know, at this point I thought I probably had the best hand, seeing as I had, like, the third nuts or something. And then he said he had quads, and I sort of looked at the board and couldn't really work it out, because that would have meant he had flat kings. And I was sort of like, what? And then he showed a king, and I thought, okay. And then he showed the other king. It wasn't a slow roll, it was just that's how the cards came out. And I just sort of sat there, and then the river was a jack. So didn't help me, but quads over quads.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible. And I must admit, all the dealers from DDD came across to have a look. So did a lot of the players that were in the tournament, jumped on the rail to have a look. No, you don't see many jacks over kings in quads, do you?
No, when you hit quads, you tend to be good most of the time. Yeah. And then a bit later on, after Palmer took a bit of a beat. It wasn't really a beat. He had top two versus a set, Chris Bader's set, so that's sort of a cooler, really. He was down to £7.50 anyway. He moved all in from early position. Isomorph, JP called. I 3-bet with jacks. And Palmer turned over 3-2 suited. And I did lose that as well.
I had 3-2 suited as well in that hand, so it's even sicker.
So he was drawing kind of thin, and he hit his flush. And I had the flush redraw as well, but I didn't hit that. So it didn't go that well.
The Spinks family are not having a good weekend. It could all change tomorrow, though. What are you planning tomorrow?
Absolutely nothing. We're taking an early bath and going home.
There is one more hand I need to mention, actually, is that a couple of times, because, you know, I'm just mucking around a bit, I blind raise under the gun without looking at my cards and get a couple of callers. And the board, I get a couple of callers, so I decide I better look at my cards before the flop comes. And the flop came 7-3-4, and I happened to have 6-5, which was pretty good. And at this point, I'd lost a few pots already, so my image was probably kind of tilted. And I bet John raised, and I just shoved my chips in, make it look pretty tilty. And he called with two pair. So that was the best hand of the weekend, I think.
Oh, you had another one last night where you had the 10-9. Was it 10-9 you had? No, it was Baz that had the 10-9.
No, I did.
Was it you that had the 10-9? I've seen so many hours this week.
That's the one where I looked at my cards and you were standing behind me and saw what I had, and then you sort of walked away, and I flopped a straight there as well.
An isomorph had it.
Top pair.
Yeah,
top kicker. Yeah.
Oh, well, you can't win them all. No. You've had some real sick ones this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's the problem is playing live, you don't get many hands in, and so this type of stuff happens. Well, but it's just, I don't know, to begin with it's kind of novelty playing live, but then it's just really boring because, like, you're playing one table with full ring and you just sat there, and halfway through, I was on my phone, halfway through, a new dealer came in and told me to get off my phone, so in the end, I just sort of sat there, staring into space, just folding, and it just gets kind of boring after a while.
Look, I promise the pair of you, next week, if we get chance on next weekend online, I'll teach you both how to play cash. I can do no more than that. I just try and get you up a bit, give you a bit more confidence.
Is this on the play money table, Jeff, or...?
me and Chipstar will soon sort you out, don't you worry. You're not playing enough hands.
That's a very kind offer.
Your mum and dad's going to go mad when they see how much your bankroll's gone down this weekend. And they haven't even bought me a drink yet, Mary, honest.
I think you've had enough, Jeff.
Right, thanks you very much, you two.
No problem.
The Brothers Grimm are now leaving the building. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Jeff.
In November the 8th, keep that one clear on your diaries. Friday, Saturday, EMS Championship. Stake a Sharp open on the Friday night before the EMS Championship. All at DTD here in Nottingham. A fantastic venue where we're hopefully going to have a very good weekend. So keep that in your diaries, the 7th and 8th of November. Right, this is Jeff signing off at Dusk Till Dawn after another nice weekend with their hospitality, which is excellent as usual. Thanks to Simon and all the dealers and staff at Dusk Till Dawn here. We've had another wonderful weekend. Thank you very much.